We're going to move on to the economy and some innovation. It's not just families who are grappling with the latest troubles in the economy. So are local and state governments. It's actually getting harder for them, too, to pay heating bills and food bills and operating bills. People are getting more energy conscious. They're buying hybrid cars, compact fluorescent lights, and low-flow shower heads are the latest ways that people are trying to save a few extra dollars. Governments, too, are getting innovative. Some are considering what Utah and New Hampshire have already done, and that is scaled back some of its workers to a four-day work week. That means employees are working 10-hour days instead of the traditional 8-hour days. Joining us now to talk about this is Professor Rex Facer of Brigham Young University and Chip Chesley, Director of General Services Department for the City of Concord, New Hampshire. Welcome, gentlemen.
It's a pleasure to be with you.
And let's start with you, Chip. First of all, what are you doing at work on Friday? Don't you have four-day work weeks there?
Well, we have seven operating divisions in our general services department, and it's our highway and utilities division that is currently working a four-day work week. So most of our staff are still working a five-day work week right now.
For those who have gone to a four-day week, how did that come about?
We're in the process of wrapping up our budget, had made some what we thought were pretty good projections on what our energy costs would be, and like yourself at home, we're facing increasing, skyrocketing fuel costs. So it came to us pretty clear that we needed to start thinking out of the box and do something to start reducing our energy consumption. In the summertime, or non-winter months up here in New Hampshire, we dispatch crews from one central location to various locations throughout the city.
Mm-hmm.
And if I dispatch those crews five times a week, that's one level of energy to get them to the job site. And if I dispatch them four times a week, that's a 20% reduction in energy consumed just getting to the job.
So how much are you saving?
The initial reports from our consumption, we've only started since July 4th, so we've got some data that came in for the month of July, and it looks like we are having some savings. Realize I want to see how August, September, October, November pull out. But right now, it looks like we are having some savings. Our budget, when we passed our budget in July,
mm-hmm.
Based upon our best guesses, we were still about 9 to 10% short on what we need for fuel. So that's our target. We're trying to recover
so
about
you
10%.
Have, yeah, so you'll see what's going to happen there. And Professor Facer, you've been studying how it's working in Utah. What have you found there?
Well, in Utah, we have an interesting situation. We have lots of local governments who have been doing four-day work weeks for several years, as well as the state. And the local governments have been reporting that they've been saving substantial amounts of money by closing their doors on Fridays. And the state's planning to save over $3 million by shutting down on Fridays.
$3 million, wow. And is this in lieu of, say, laying off people? Is this saving jobs?
That's part of the strategy. The strategy is really twofold. For the local governments, it's been let's save some money so that we can expand the set of services that we're offering, so we can offer a higher level of service. At the state, it was really driven by energy consumption. That was their primary effort, is to try and make an impact on our energy consumption. And so for the local governments, it has helped them not have to lay off people and be able to offer a higher level of service.
So, Chip, for some of your workers, is thank gosh it's Thursday? Is that a popular saying there?
Well, for some of it is. What we've done is we have five crews in that division, and we have them scheduled so that there are people working all 5 days.
Oh, so all of the work is essentially still getting done.
All the work's being done, and actually we have more coverage on the roads right now for a longer period of time should an emergency come before us that we need to fix. We can fix it on straight time versus overtime.
And Professor Facer, are you finding that perhaps there are some greater levels of efficiency now, as Chip has just described, is happening to him in New Hampshire?
Yeah, that's precisely what we found. We've done some survey work with employees and with human resource directors across the country, and both employees and the human resource directors agree that the employees are more productive in a four-day work week. And part of that is for the exact kinds of things that Chip's talked about, They're able to spend more time actually working for those kinds of jobs that have some substantial startup and shutdown time. But otherwise, they're also able to not be distracted by work and family conflicts.
Oh, because now they have an extra day to plan for family issues or kids or
doctor's
appointments or any of those other kinds of things.
Exactly.
So workers are happier. Have you found that?
Yes, we found that the employees report higher levels of job satisfaction, which then translates to lower absenteeism, lower likelihood of leaving the job, all of which are very beneficial for the employee, but also end up being very beneficial for the organization as well.
Thank you, gentlemen. Professor Rex Facer, Assistant Professor of Public Finance and Management at Brigham Young University. And we have Chip Chelsea, Director of the General Services Department for the City of Concord. Thank you both for joining us.
Our pleasure.
Glad to be here.
And good to note also that there are several municipalities in several states experimenting with this idea of four-day work weeks, and that would be in Alabama, Arizona, and Wisconsin.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.